Dave and Taryn.
About to drop another Top 5 Things podcast on you. Thanks for downloading it, subscribing to it, listening to it. You've done at least two of those things, or you're actively doing one of them right now.
Yeah, the heavy lifting.
My name is... Finding it's really the hard part. My name is Dave, and this fellow over here, he's Darren. Hey, Darren.
And the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Both locations open 7 days a week. Recreational waiting lists are available. Reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
I saw over the weekend somebody's got a Kickstarter for a robot snowblower.
Uh-huh.
You just, I guess you just turn it on and then...
Send him out there and he does his thing, huh?
I don't know how would that even work? How does it know where your sidewalk is? Guess, how does it know where your driveway is?
I guess the same way that... The vacuum robots know things.
But a vacuum robot you can turn on and it learns, like, and then in its head it knows, okay, this is where the carpet is.
Well, okay, do the same thing with the snow blowing.
But see, if a Roomba goes over your grass, it's not going to shoot the grass all over the place.
Well, it's a different machine.
I understand, but this Snowbot, the world's first autonomous snowblower.
I am Snowbot.
Snowbot S1, the world's first autonomous snowblower robot for residential use.
I am Snowbot.
Ready to help you.
I'd rather be in school.
You think Snowbot's already...
Snowbot I've been
is
cleaning
exhausted.
This drive and the next drive and probably drives even for people I don't really even know.
Snowbot's exhausted?
Snowbot is exhausted.
Well, you hate when that happens.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It says here, it's ready to help you keep your driveway, yard, and sidewalk snow-free day and night.
Your yard? It's okay if there's snow in the yard, I think.
No. Get rid of all
Get
of
rid
it.
Of all of it.
I want all of it gone.
Give it to the neighbor.
How dare you? You're going to see my grass, by God.
I paid for that grass.
Enjoy your snow day, they say, when you have Snowbot. You install Snowbot. You then place positioning beacons around the yard. And then you start the robot and control it with
the
Snowbot app on your phone. That's not really a robot then,
right? I don't want to drive it.
No, that doesn't sound...
Just do it.
That doesn't sound right. It says, that's it. Snow removal is no more pain. Snowbot has a complete security system that can make it a safe robot. LIDAR technology is used for automatic obstacle detection. Buzzing alarms are designed to notify you of potential danger when obstacles get close to the robot. Yellow warning lights designed to illuminate and flash to warn anyone moving around the Snowbot. And there's an emergency stop button for an immediate stop of the working robot.
You know what? It's going to be easier if I just grab a shovel.
It says it's uniquely satisfying. A fully autonomous snow cleaning robot. You don't need to go outside to get the snow removed. Let it clean the driveway before you get to work or take the kids to school in the morning. Just enjoy your relaxing morning and delicious breakfast. Well, how do they know that my breakfast is going to be delicious?
Here's hoping, but it's...
I got more questions than answers to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is unusual, Darren. Joining us on the hotline...
Yeah?
Snowbot.
Snowbot himself? Is this Snowbot? Hello, Snowbot. What's up? Do we have a connection, Snowbot? Can you hear me, Snowbot?
Snowbot, are you there?
Snowbot, are you there?
What's up, losers? It is I, Snowbot.
Can I deprogram the surly mouth?
why don't you deprogram your face now?
Is that an option?
That is not an option at this time. I have a complete security system.
And how,
it will make me a very safe robot. Let me blow your snow.
And how much?
And enjoy your delicious breakfast.
How much do you cost?
That's a good question.
You don't even know your price tag?
Why would I? My job is to snowblow, not to do price checks.
Now, are you capable of doing any other sort of tasks? Or can you blow anything else?
Easy. Easy morning, Zoo. clean it up. Clean it up. Snowbot is not here for your dirty talk.
It says here there's an app for all control, and you can keep an eye on how the snow removal work is done anytime, anywhere.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
Keep an eye on why
were you like anywhere?
What?
Oh, that's funny.
You're funny. And there's a remote control, and it looks like a video game if you really want to have some fun with me. Use the joystick to clean snow wherever you want, especially the tough spot.
Wherever you want the snow to blow, you've got a joystick for that?
This is correct.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, thank you, Snowbot.
Automatic or manual?
Yes, affirmative. Automatic or manual. Whatever works for you.
Trips your trigger.
Whatever, how you humans say, floats your boat.
Wait, is this the Johnny Carson model?
What is going
on? Wait a minute. Late night Snowbot?
Can I leave the Snowbot outside after each use?
That's a good question. Good question.
That is a very good question. You're clearly the smarter of the two humans I'm speaking to. There is no problem if you leave me outside. However, in terms of charging time, it is recommended that you bring me inside, so less time is taken to charge me. Snowbot.
And how long does it take to fully charge you?
Yeah, how long does it take?
For a full charge.
How much area can you handle on one charge?
Exactly. How much snow blowing can you do with one full charge?
I can handle an area of a 2-3 car garage driveway. And I can handle driveways up to 1,500 square feet on a full charge.
What about sidewalks?
Not so much. The duration can vary depending on snow slickiness. And
okay. How long did you ask how long it takes to fully charge? You did. And yeah. I feel like he didn't
answer.
No, he
didn't answer the question. How long does it take you to fully charge?
3 hours to fully charge me. I am your Snowbot. And is that is for an hour and a half on a full charge.
And is that even like in Burbank time?
It is so hot in Burbank.
How hot is it?
Why does he sound like the devil now?
I don't know. He went into devil mode.
Sorry about that. What was your question?
It's so hot in Burbank. How hot is it?
We got so much snow in Burbank.
How much snow did you get?
The chickens are laying frozen eggs.
Boy, that was a frozen egg.
I don't...
Of a joke.
Is Snowbot doing jokes now?
Hail? Wait a minute.
That doesn't make a lick of sense.
Uh-huh.
Well, Snowbot, something that you can you can
consider. And what was the cost again?
I can't find a price.
Can't find a price tag.
There's also, by the way, a robot that will clean your toilet.
Mm.
Automatic toilet cleaning is now a thing. The Shine toilet cleaning robot. Here's some reviews. TechCrunch says, flush away the old way of cleaning toilets. Digital Trend says, no need to get down and dirty cleaning your toilet with Shine Bathroom Assistant. Wired says of the toilet cleaning robot Shine, the simplicity of use is the most convincing element of Shine. It's a robot you put in your toilet. It installs in 2 minutes. No tools or wall plugs are needed for this.
I wonder if it's like the little tidy bowl man.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've never heard of such a thing. A robot that cleans your toilet. And, well, this is unbelievable, Darren. Joining us on the hotline, It's Shine, the toilet cleaning robot.
Hello, Shine.
All day long, they make me to clean toilets. They make me to scrub toilets all day long. Is never clean enough for me, sir. They make me to clean toilet and scrub on my knees.
Okay.
feel like we've heard this story before.
Yeah, you're right. It's
from a human being.
It's an old tale. He would watch you, yeah.
Okay.
Well, there are options out there when, you know.
So, like,
I don't really have a robot, but.
Would you get one?
I don't know which one I would.
Would you rather have a robot that cleans your toilet or a robot that'll clean your driveway when it snows?
What a stupid question. The answer is snowbot.
For some reason.
I am the superior robot.
For some reason, I bought a robot that poops in my snow.
Sorry about that.
All day long.
It's the green.
Okay. Those are the robots, ladies and gentlemen.
There are options out there.
Plenty of things you can do. Here's a review. It says, it's been a week since the installation of our toilet cleaning robot, and it went well with a minor hiccup on the internet connection.
Oh, you don't want a hiccup.
You got to hook up your toilet cleaning robot to the internet?
Boy, that's just...
That's a hard pass for me.
It's an invasion of privacy there. What's going on here?
Smile for the dream.
Oh, no.
I don't like this.
Smile for shine.
No, I don't.
Smile for the camera.
I don't care for that.
No.
The review says, my toilet bowl is now cleaned effortlessly, and I can use my time for other things. How much time are you really wasting? I mean, I get it. It takes a while to do, but cleaning the toilets, I feel like when I do that in my house, it's like 20 minutes to get all of them done. Is that, I guess if you add it up, it works out?
Hmm.
Here's one. After months of waiting for the Shine toilet cleaning robot to show up, it's finally here. The setup was a breeze. The unit with the most use is located in the power room on the first floor.
This is more information than any of us need.
It says here that the cleaning is very noticeable and there's been an improvement in the bowl. It looks whiter. And slowly it's been getting a deep clean with the solution that the robot provides.
Well, there you go.
It emits a solution, I guess. That makes sense. The Shine units are worth every penny and the long months waiting for it. Let your bathroom take care of itself. Yeah, I don't know, man. Between a toilet... I mean, I guess that the toilet robot makes more sense because you'll use that 12 months out of the year. And frankly, I like going out and blowing the snow around. You know, that's not a job that I want a robot to take. Installs in 2 minutes, put it near the toilet, add water in the cleaning pod, and then create electrolyzed water.
Yeah, the toilet robot would be better for you.
Yeah, but then what if it starts arcing? And when you're sitting on it, what if there's like some sort of, electric mishap? I don't need that. That's not great.
I will not electrocute you, I promise. Put me in your toilets.
Okay.
Put me in your heart.
Seems a little needy, too. A little too willing to do a job that nobody wants to do.
A little too self-aware, too.
Frankly, yeah.
Number two.
Story of a 22-month-old kid who somehow racked up more than $2,000 worth of furniture from Walmart.com. He's not 2 years old, and he's purchasing...
I've got a serious spending habit.
Spent a lot of time with his mom's phone in his hand, and liked to browse accent shares mostly. That seems like a weird thing for a not-yet two-year-old to be into, right? This happened in Monmouth Junction, New Jersey.
Okay, so imagine this for me. Imagine receiving package after package of things you never ordered, only to find out that culprit was your baby. News 12 New Jersey's Naomi Yane is live.
Oh, no.
With this very interesting story, Naomi. Can't wait to hear more.
Brittany, listen, that's exactly what happened to a New Jersey family, right? When their 22-month-old baby racked up a Walmart bill for almost $2,000, and those very large packages ended up on their family's front steps.
Can I have my phone, please?
Ayash Kumar isn't even 2 years old yet, but like most of today's kids, he loves his devices, and it recently got him into some expensive trouble.
Okay, the story starts, this kid's still got the phone in his hand. I don't want to tell somebody how to parent.
Hold on a second.
That's not my business how you raise your kids.
Hold on a second.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe take the phone away from the kid?
I've got an ottoman I'm taking a look at here.
He just went to the cart and whatever was there, boom. He just picked and just see all the payment was went through. And
now the Kumar family just moved to their new home, and mom Madhu, who admits to being a frequent shopper, says all her payment info is already loaded onto her phone. Mm-hmm. She was still in the process of picking and choosing which pieces of furniture she was ultimately going to buy, never intending to keep all the pieces she added to the online shopping cart. But little Ayash had other plans that ended up costing his parents over $1,700. And unfortunately, they caught it too late.
I'm telling you right now, something doesn't smell right here.
Although, if you're shopping for furniture.
Yeah.
And you've only racked up $1,700.
Yeah. I mean, it's Walmart furniture.
Yeah, but still. I mean, that's not outrageous, is it?
Well,
not outrageous.
And these are all items that she had in her shopping cart.
So the kid hasn't done anything other than basically said, you know, buy.
But is that something people, like, I don't put things in an online shopping cart unless I intend to purchase them. Is that something people do? You put a bunch of stuff and then you remove stuff?
I wouldn't.
To narrow it down?
If I was going to put something in a cart,
yeah,
I would have a strong suggestion that I was going to purchase that.
I mean,
you might go back at the end and go, hey, you know what? I don't need that.
Yeah.
But
I guess I've done that. But to have everything already loaded up in the cart.
Or maybe you load it up and go, okay, now I've reached a threshold where the shipping's going to be free.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We saw this guy, phone in the hand. He said, oh, no. We called him, can you please cancel? They said, no, it's already delivered.
And first person came with the box, and he put next to the door. Then second person came, then first step, then second step, then third. Oh my God, what is this? It was a queue.
Ayash is what popular culture has dubbed a COVID baby, meaning he was born during the pandemic. He has two older siblings who he's watched do virtual schooling, and their screen habits seem to be rubbing off on him.
He likes phone because everybody is in virtual. They are busy with their phone, his siblings, always with the phone, and I don't know. I think he needs phone work for that.
Yeah, or maybe, again, it's not my kid, it's not my business. Maybe take the phone out of your baby's hands. This kid in the video is like typing things, like words. Does he know words? If he's 22 months old, is he typing words?
I'm on baby Tinder.
Oh,
it's like that's right. I got play dates set up.
Maybe the kid shouldn't have the phone in his hand. I don't know. Not my business.
And all this stuff, just showed up on your front porch, huh?
Uh-huh.
So much for trouble with the supply chain.
Now the Kumar family says they're still receiving Ayash's packages, and they say these boxes right here are only 75% of the things he ordered, which included mostly accent chairs. And the Kumars say moving forward, they're removing their card info from their phones and adding passcodes.
Or, again, I hate to beat a dead horse here, or don't let your baby
have your phone. Yeah.
You really shouldn't be making noise if you're dead.
Outsmarted again by a baby.
By a baby.
10 years. He is adorable, and you know what? He may be an interior designer in the future. But we have to know, what did they do? Did they send all that stuff back?
So actually, they thought about it at first. Right? They were like, well, if they don't give them a refund, they might just start giving stuff away to their friends or maybe try and sell a couple of these things off. But they did reach out to Walmart, and Walmart was cool about it. They explained the situation and told them what happened, and Walmart is going to give them a refund for the things they returned, because they're still decorating their home. Okay. So they do want a couple of those pieces, but they're not going to keep all of them. They're going to get a refund for the things they returned. And I was thinking, this kind of sounds like a good idea. Next time I overdo it on the online shopping, I might just call and be like, hey, I over, you know what? Like, listen, my kid, you know.
No, Naomi.
Well, you're gonna lie?
Everybody.
I'm gonna lie.
Welcome to Channel 12 News. Naomi's got some ideas on how to commit fraud.
I'm gonna
fraud.
Commit fraud is what I'm gonna do. And I'm announcing it right here in the public.
On the news, I'd like to highlight my plan to commit online fraud.
I'm gonna commit slow rolling fraud is what I'm gonna do.
Okay. I got some ideas. I call it a check kite.
What are they going to do with all those all those pieces? Actually, they're going to use them all. He's got a sharp eye.
Well, then they said they were going to give them away to friends. What? No, you can return things you buy online.
Yeah, I think you can return.
Walmart's
stuff.
Not being cool about it.
You don't
it.
Have to come up
That's
with
the policy.
You don't have to come up with a baby excuse.
Exactly. You can just say, I don't want this.
No, this is going
There's
bad.
No, you don't. Walmart's not being cool.
No.
This is how online shopping works. Yeah. If you don't want it, you send it back.
Uh-huh.
Things.
Honesty is the best policy.
Fair enough. Now they've seen me say it on, okay, I can't get away with that.
Well, here's the thing. You didn't think that all the way through, Naomi.
Are not alone. I'm sure a lot of other parents have similar stories. Maybe not as much, almost $2,000. But if you can relate to this story, please tell us all about it on our New Jersey Facebook page. And we may even share some of those stories starting tomorrow morning. We can't wait. Naomi, thank
you. It's a segment we call None of Our Business.
Outsmarted by my baby.
How a baby outsmarted us. Yeah, if this had happened to me, if a baby had made a bunch of purchases at my house, you would never know about
no.
it.
No.
It would be the most embarrassing.
Just like
just
when
admitting
I,
that I'm not an
just
attentive
like, you
parent.
You know what? Like, I had the Diablo Dare sandwich the other day.
Yeah.
And it comes with a sticker on it for a TikTok video.
What?
Guess who didn't make one? Guess who just ate the sandwich?
I can't imagine how hard your eyes rolled up into your head when you saw there was a
it's a TikTok video. Record yourself and see if you can eat the sandwich without using the small diminutive vanilla shake. Yeah, I can. And I did. And if you don't believe me because I don't have video TikTok proof, well, nerds to you.
And I ordered the Diablo Dare on the app. I had a baby push the button, so now I want it for free. It's called roast beef fraud, and I'm here for it. little Anush bought me this Diablo Dare. I didn't want it, so my expectation is I shouldn't have to pay.
That's what I'm going to do next time. Even though you can just return things. No, I'm going to blame a baby. I don't even have a baby.
Because first, I'm going to abduct a baby. Then I commit my fraud on all these online shopping concerns.
I'm going to pin it on a random baby. Maybe a baby that doesn't even exist.
Baby in my mind. Mind baby. Yes, I'd like to return these items. They were purchased by a baby who may or may not exist.
In my mind, I'm going Explain back to a baby.
Next time you have to return something, just come up with an elaborate, unnecessary backstory.
What?
Yes, I'd like to return this. It's something I was forced to purchase at knife point. A baby had a knife to my throat.
Yeah, I had to return a couple things after Christmas.
Yeah.
And the young girl who, you know, was quite capable of figuring it out and taking it back. But next time, next year, a baby bought this.
Number three.
Got a couple of people running to the internet looking for advice. I wanted to share a couple of these with you and get your take. Let's start with this one. Should I forgive my sister for mocking my fiance's sister's death at my fiance's bachelorette party?
What a ghoul.
Oh, it's worse than you imagined. My 20-year-old sister has been uninvited to my wedding.
Uh-huh.
After she went to my fiance's bachelorette party and announced she had a special surprise guest. She then wheeled in a skeleton dressed up in a Sister of the Bride t-shirt.
What my the fiance's, hell are you thinking?
My fiance's younger sister died when she was 16. I've got a surprise! Oh, this is going to be so great! I'm going to read this again. My 20-year-old sister has been uninvited to my wedding after she went to my fiancé's bachelorette party, announced she had a special surprise guest, and then wheeled in a skeleton dressed up in a Sister of the Bride t-shirt. My fiancé's younger sister died when she was 16. I'm also not talking to my sister right now. I don't know what you could even say. She's never liked my fiancé, but I still can't believe she'd do something so theatrically cruel. My family all want me to back down. Quote, she overstepped, but it was just a joke. You know she likes to be edgy. She's devastated.
I wonder if there was anybody at the party that just thought it was the best thing ever. What? Just like, oh my God, that's great. Just like slapping your leg, laughing. Like, oh my God.
Mike,
that is just brilliant.
My guess is that's probably not the case.
Right? No, probably not.
Or but. Like you think it's hilarious and then you read the room real fast. So oh, you're like dying laughing. You're like, ah, that's not cool.
Yeah. But at first you're like, oh man.
My family telling me that my sister is very sorry and just wants to get back to normal. The only person I haven't heard from is my sister, other than telling me to, quote, get over it.
Mm.
I've stood firm probably for the first time in my life. This was such an indescribably cruel thing to do to anyone, whether I love them or not, that I just can't sweep it under the rug. So now my side of the family, my parents, my brother, my aunts and cousins, say they're not coming to the wedding. Which is fine. They can get a bunch of skeletons and hold their own. I don't care. The thing is, at that point, even my fiancé wants me to just give in to keep the peace. She says it's not worth causing so much disruption over a stupid prank that went wrong. Except it wasn't a prank. Mm-hmm. No one could consider that funny and genuinely expect people to laugh. I'm not sure what to do. My fiancé was the only one injured by this, and she wants me to stop, although her parents know what happened and were furious.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they'd react if my sister, who was supposed to be a bridesmaid, smirked her way down the aisle the day of. I feel like I'm right, but no one else seems to agree. And no one else is even trying to make my sister apologize. I feel like it's so clear she's the one in the wrong, but at this point, all the blame's on me. And I'm starting to wonder if I'm really the one in the wrong here by not letting it go. I mean, clearly.
I would say if you want to stand your ground, stand your ground.
Right? Yeah, the advice given here by the people at Slate in their advice column, they say you should be firm in your charge of who from your side of your family is invited to your wedding, and your fiancé can do the same for her side. Yeah, that's something else.
I've got a little something cooked up for the bachelorette party that I think you're going to get a kick out of.
How about this? Was it reasonable for me to ask my Indian girlfriend never to cook Indian food in our shared home?
What are you doing?
My girlfriend is Indian. She moved to the United States a few years back. She loves to cook. She told me so on our first date. However, I'm not the biggest fan of Indian food. I find that a lot of the spices used in Indian food irritate my stomach. And I have a very low tolerance for hot, spicy foods. She never had an issue with this and never forced me to eat anything I didn't want to. In fact, whenever I stayed over, she made things like pancakes and French toast. And they were incredible. She's a very good cook. Well, 2 weeks ago, we moved in together. And yesterday, she was super excited to show me something.
Yeah.
She dragged me to the kitchen and there, she unveiled an entire drawer of spices.
Yes.
We're talking 30 different types of whole, crushed, powdered spices, neatly stored in glass bottles and labeled.
Yep.
I asked why she needed so many spices, and she replied, to cook Indian food, silly.
That's right.
I told her that I didn't like Indian food, and she told me not to worry. She wouldn't force me to eat anything. That's just for her meals, and she'd make separate meals for me. I asked her if she could simply not cook Indian food at all in our house because the smell is so pungent, and if she'd cook regular food instead.
Oh, boy.
She told me that Indian food is regular food for her, and I'm going to have to get used to it.
Uh-huh.
I insisted, and she said she'd only consider giving up cooking Indian food if I give up cooking meat at our house because she's a vegetarian, because she doesn't like the smell of meat being cooked. I told her, well, that's unfair. You never objected when I cooked meat in my apartment. She told me she's only demanding that I give it up because I'm doing the same thing to her.
Uh-huh.
I got quite mad and told her she's being extremely unreasonable as I need meat. I work out a lot and I need the protein.
Okay.
But she doesn't need to eat Indian food all the time and can order takeout if she craves it. She told me the Indian restaurants are not very good where we live, and that it's unhealthy to eat takeout every day. We ended up arguing for a while, and now we're not talking to each other. Am I the jerk for insisting that she doesn't cook with spices?
Yeah, you people need to find new people.
This woman is bending over backwards.
Someone's willing to cook you Indian food.
Right.
And you're not going to allow it?
Right.
Come on. Expand your horizons a little bit. You might like it. I know you've got, you know, a kind of a icky tummy time. But...
Was it really so bad when I publicly criticized a friend for the way she told me her ex-husband had died? A few years ago, a longtime friend sent me a private message through social media, and it just said Don had a massive heart attack and passed away.
Mm.
I instantly thought it was a mutual friend I had been close with for over 20 years.
Yeah.
But whom I've been out of touch.
A different
Don.
But
whom I've been out of touch with for a couple of years due to my move to another country. I was so upset and in tears at the news.
Don's gone?
I had to leave. I had to leave work early.
Don? Is that Don on the phone? Don?
Is Don on the phone? Okay.
It's not Don?
I was so upset and in tears I had to leave work early that day.
Yeah, I thought it was our friend.
When I got home, I frantically reached out to other mutual friends only to find out that my Don was alive and well. Come to find out, the friend who sent me the message was referring to her ex-husband, Don.
Yeah, Don had not been run over by a Pepsi truck.
Broke every bone in his body.
Everyone!
She'd been divorced from Don for many years. He rarely came up in conversation.
But?
Still recovering from my grief and shock,
yeah.
I posted it as very important to clarify who you're referring to when you share bad news. I didn't mention my friend by name, but she immediately unfriended me with a comment that I had called her out and embarrassed her. She was struggling with her own grief, and that I was selfish to post something like this for attention. I emailed her numerous times and apologized if I had offended her. It's been almost 3 years, and I still reach out to her occasionally with an olive branch or by phone.
3 years?
But there's been no response.
I think it's time to move on.
It seems she's decided my offense was unforgivable.
Yeah.
And now I'm grieving at the end of a 20-year friendship over a social media post. Huh? Do you think I did anything horrible given the circumstances? What are your thoughts? Miss Manners says they agree that this friend is overreacting. I'm with you. This is a whole lot of nothing. And then finally, someone writing to the Amy Dickinson in the Washington Post advice column. Is it okay to cover my mouth with my hand when my deaf lip-reading relative is around and I don't want him to know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I have an in-law relative who's been deaf since childhood. A few years ago, I learned that this person reads lips. My problem is that they eavesdrop on private conversations by reading your lips. The masks many of us wear have helped curb this, but with things hopefully going back to normal, I will once again have to cover my mouth when we're with this in-law. It feels a bit rude to do this, but if I have something I want to share with my husband, there's really nothing else to do.
Couldn't you just have the conversation when that person's not around? What kind of private conversations are you constantly having? What kind of secretive conversations are you constantly having?
Right,
with other people around.
If you're having a private conversation with your husband.
Do it when you're just alone.
Seems like there's plenty of hours of the day.
Yeah, isn't there plenty of opportunities to have a private conversation on your own?
I'm going to cover my mouth. So, not to draw any attention, but I'm talking about you.
Apparently.
Right? Don't have personal, private, exclusive conversations with your husband in front of other people.
Yeah.
Whether they can hear you or not.
Yeah.
Is it rude if I just cover my mouth with my hand? Yes. Yes, that's exceptional.
And you're having a ton of private conversations, huh?
To the point where they have to write a letter to the newspaper and ask if it's okay to
constantly having secretive conversations.
You know, I'm just always giving my husband my social security number out loud.
And we speak in tongues. You do what?
Yeah, it's It's kind of what we're known for.
It's what we do.
I buried a bunch of money in the yard, and I like to tell the husband where I buried it out loud.
Yeah,
a bunch. But only when the deaf relative's in the room.
Right. Don't tell anybody.
But it's getting to the point now.
The gold bricks have been painted to look like the other bricks. And they're right in plain sight for everyone to see. Just like Hogan's Heroes.
Also, I don't think that's how lip reading works. I don't think lip readers can just automatically be in a room. I think they have to be like looking right at you, right?
Yeah, if they're just like over there helping themselves to the punch, I don't know that they're going to see anything. Or if maybe they're having a conversation with somebody else. They're not going to maybe see you over in the corner with your hand over your mouth.
Can you imagine being this clueless and then sitting down and writing a letter to the newspaper asking for
what
advice?
Do you think?
Darren, that's got to be the name of your advice column. We'll get you an advice column in one of the papers. What do you think with Darren Pitra?
Hashtag silence is golden.
And have people write with their problems. And then you just say, oh, what do you think?
Am I a dope for doing this? What do you think?
What do you think? It sounds like you've answered your own
sounds
question.
Sounds like you already did. You've answered your question by writing me.
That's your advice column roundup.
Yes, you're a dope. Whatever you're asking, am I a this, am I a that? Yes.
The fact that you have to ask solidifies
that you are. That cements it. I don't know, am I this? Yes, you are.
Number four.
I believe it was Colonel Tom Parker who said there's no such thing as bad publicity, at least. He's the one who gets the credit for that.
And that is maxim. So untrue.
Well, but he was a genius because, well, not a genius, but he was pretty smart in that Colonel Tom Parker would sell at Elvis appearances, I love Elvis buttons.
Uh-huh.
And he would also sell buttons that say, I hate Elvis.
Hmm.
So he would make money on both camps. Can you imagine going to see Elvis and buying a button that says, I hate Elvis?
What are you showing up for the show for if you hate him?
My girlfriend wanted to go. Watch this greaser thrust his hips in such a way. Right, so that's where Colonel Tom Parker is credited with coming up with the idea that there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Tickets to the show cost a dime, and your button cost a penny.
The goal was to turn Elvis into a brand, not a person, a brand. So here's the buttons. Elvis is a jerk. I hate Elvis. Elvis the Joik. And this was something that Colonel Tom Parker was behind. Wall Street Journal reporting by the end of 1957, Elvis merchandise grossed over $22 million. $22 million in 1957. And a lot of that is people that are buying stuff to say they can't stand Elvis Presley.
And strangely enough, a lot of it was Star Wars figures.
In 57?
In 57!
He was that much of a genius.
That's forward thinking.
That's now you're talking. The folks at Peloton, I have to deal with this again now.
What's that?
Another TV character had a heart attack on a TV show while using a Peloton exercise bike.
Scripted.
Yes. Another fictional TV show. Of course, you had Mr. Big on the Sex and the City reboot keeling over and dying on his Peloton.
And what happens here?
This is now, I guess, on the TV show Billions.
Okay.
One of the characters has a heart attack while he's using an exercise bike, a Peloton exercise bike.
And my guess is that neither one of these productions, while they're making their program, know of the other one.
No, and
doing the same thing.
Yeah, they say that the scene from Billions was written before the Sex and the City incident. But we have a second character now. Now, this one doesn't die as a result of the heart attack, but still, it's not great for Well, for your brand to be associated with two different heart attacks.
I don't know why not, though. I mean, that's just telling you that gives you a good workout.
Darren, a heart attack, I'd argue, is not the goal of a cardio workout.
That's on you. Take it easy, champ.
Wags.
Know your limitations.
Mike Wags Wagner has a heart attack while he's riding his Peloton. He doesn't die, though, like Mr. Big does. In fact, upon his return from the hospital, he says he's not going out like Mr. Big. Well, how can they say that this was done before Sex and the City if he's mentioning Mr. Big on the show? I guess they added the line. They originally filmed this last year, and then they thought they should add the line about Mr. Big in post-production.
A little tip of the cap.
Something like that.
Because
Peloton wants me to let you know that cardiovascular exercise is actually beneficial for people at risk of cardiac events.
Yeah, if used properly, probably.
Right.
So that's a little situation where Billions is saying, we're real. Sex and the City, that's just a show.
That's fake.
That's a fake thing.
That's all imaginary.
We're the real deal.
Those people are pretending.
Yeah, they're pretending.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's all pretend, but Peloton, not happy with this. Company saying in a statement following the season 6 premiere of Billions, quote, we get why these fictional TV shows would want to include a brand that people love to talk about, but Showtime's use of Peloton's bike and reference to a Peloton instructor was not a brand product or instructor placement, and we did not agree for our brand and intellectual property to be used on the show or provide any equipment. He could have just had a heart attack on something that looked like a Peloton, and we would have gotten it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they needed to zoom in on the logo to let you know that this was, in fact, Peloton when it wasn't.
Well, can you imagine if there was a rash of television programs or streaming programs or motion pictures or whatever that all of a sudden just went on some sort of jag where everyone was just spitting out Coke going, God! Or
they just go out for a nice meal. They order a Coca-Cola.
And it's clearly a Coca-Cola can. Or Pepsi or whatever.
Right.
Or Budweiser or whatever.
Oh, it's awful.
And then just all of a sudden. And like two or three shows end up doing it.
Wait a minute. What's going on?
What kind of conspiracy is this?
Some sort of agenda.
If you're going to do a brand placement is one thing, but then now you're going to badmouth our brand?
Oh, no. What if they go back? Because they can do this now where they, if you watch episodes of How I Met Your Mother, mm-hmm. if you watch reruns of that,
yeah,
they will digitally insert ads.
Of items?
Today.
That don't exist.
That weren't on during the original, like, How I Met Your Mother.
Or the product didn't exist then.
Yeah, that's possible, too. Can they go back now and retrofit? So, you know, like, Henry Blake died. He was on a Peloton in Korea. Spun out into the Sea of Japan.
His Peloton spun out into the Sea of Japan.
Everyone at the Red Wedding on Game of Thrones is just on Pelotons. I don't know. If they go back and retro do all of these deaths, right? Oh, no. Oh, no. What is that ominous Peloton bike doing in the corner of the shot there? It's getting closer and closer.
Or a Christmas.
Look out.
Or a Christmas Story. I like Peloton.
And then that kid just gets on a Peloton and dies in front of Santa.
It just drops over.
Oh, no. Did you see that they're doing A Christmas Story 2?
Mm-mm.
They're doing a sequel.
So is Ralphie the dad now?
Yes. Christmas Story 2 will begin filming, I think, next week.
Huh.
And it will star Peter Billingsley.
In time for this Christmas?
The original Ralphie.
Sure.
That's got it. I mean, if you're filming it now, you've got to be doing it with the intention of releasing it for Christmas of 22, right? So.
Why did, when I said that, I was thinking, oh, they'll have plenty of time. They've got like, you know, half a year. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. It's only January.
Yeah. It's called A Christmas Story Christmas. It will be directed by Clay Cadis, the guy who did The Christmas Chronicles, from a script by Nick Schenck, who did the script for both Cry Macho and The Mule.
Oh,
the last two Clint Eastwood movies. Vince Vaughn said to be producing this. Peter Billingsley will reprise his role and produce.
He's Ralph now.
He's Ralph, the dad. Christmas Story was not very well received when it came out in the theaters, but it has become one of the most beloved holiday movies in cinema history.
I don't remember it being in the theaters.
So he grew up, he was a 40s kid that wanted the Red Rifle, Red Ryder BB rifle that would shoot his eye out.
That would put him in his 80s now.
Yeah, but this film will take place in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Right? He's not a grandpa. They're not going to age Peter Billingsley.
Well.
He'll be the dad, and it'll be the 70s, and the movie will be about Ralphie bringing his family to his childhood home for Christmas. The original was shot in Cleveland and Toronto, but the new movie begins production next month in Hungary.
Huh. That's weird.
What? Why are you filming it in Hungary? If it's supposed to be Ohio, oh, actually, I think it's supposed to be Indiana. If I remember the Gene Shepard original, it's in Indiana, right? We'll see. The Christmas Story 2. Yeah, I bet that's out.
Well, if they're standing in line this time, the grown-up kid can say,
I like Star Wars.
I like Star Wars.
If that's a moment in the movie, if it's the late 70s, and they're in line to see Santa.
Yeah.
And a grown man.
If Ralph is in line with his, you know.
Right.
Family.
And there's a grown man wearing aviator goggles.
Right.
That just looks at the kids and says, I like Star Wars. If that happens, all bets are off.
Well, the guy will be in line with aviator glasses, and his kid will also have the aviator goggles on as well.
Like it's a genetic trait in that family?
Yes. A dominant trait.
To walk around like you're a bombardier on a B-52?
Right. In the 70s.
They say it together, ominously.
Yeah.
We like Star Wars. Both riding Peloton bikes for some reason.
Five.
Number five.
Woman gives her one of her kidneys to her boyfriend.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're right not to know about that. Because 3 months after the surgery, he dumps her. This seems like an easily avoidable.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the sort of thing you accept, even.
Oh, he was very happy to accept it.
It's like, boy, now I seem kind of obligated.
Colleen met her boyfriend 5 years ago, and he informed her of his chronic illness that impacted his kidney function.
Wait a minute. Isn't this a show on CBS?
No.
Be positive.
It's a different... No. The boyfriend suffered from a chronic kidney disease since he was 17 years old. She says he'd been on dialysis because his kidney function was less than 5%. Mm. She wanted to do everything she could for the man that she loved. And her first step was to go to the doctor to get tested to see if her kidney was a match.
Yeah.
And a viable candidate for an organ donation. And not long after the test comes in, Colleen and her boyfriend get the news, you are in fact a match. So, it's going to save his life and alter her life. But she goes through with it because she loves her boyfriend. She donates one of her kidneys to the boyfriend. She said she was nervous on the day of the surgery. And then...
Yeah, I bet.
It's 7 months post-op. Her ex tells her, hey, I'm going to Vegas with my church group for a bachelor party.
Church group to Vegas for a bachelor party?
None of that makes any sense, right? None of that...
You don't go to church.
She says she thought nothing of it and stayed home to study for her final exams. And that's when things started to go sideways in their relationship. This guy comes back from Vegas, and he lets her know, by the way, when I was in Vegas, I cheated on you.
What?
Uh-huh. She says, a lot of arguments later, I eventually forgave him and gave him a second chance. And this is where I would say, don't give a second chance to somebody you gave a second kidney.
There is a rule to live by.
That's a maxim that I think should really be done in like needlepoint and put up on a wall somewhere. You don't get a second chance. You got my second kidney.
That's what grandma always said.
Uh-huh. So she decides to give the relationship another chance. That's always a mistake, by the way. Unfortunately for Colleen and her ex, their compatibility began to begin and end with her kidney. 3 months after she gave the guy another chance, he dumps her over the phone. He tells her, quote, if we're meant for each other, God will bring us back together in the end.
Oh, boy.
You're going to bring God into this? The same God, by the way, that gave you a lousy kidney. I'd like to throw that out there.
And you probably slept someone from the church group.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or somebody like at a Siegfried and Roy show.
Yeah.
Do they do tributes to Siegfried and Roy?
They don't even do a tribute to Elvis anymore.
It's true. Then he started yelling at her, telling her, look, you only donated your kidney to me so that you would look good.
What?
Like, you just did this to
me. You had all that kidney weight on. You're trying to lose all that kidney weight.
I think he means look good in the eyes of others, like, as a good person.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Not that you're somehow more attractive with only one kidney.
Oh, I guess so.
But who knows with this monster? Maybe that is what he meant. He then blocked her on all social media and stopped answering her calls and texts for months. I don't know why she would call or text this guy. Other than, hey, give me my kidney back. She is now receiving an outpouring of support from viewers since she shared this tale.
Yeah.
You know, millions of likes. And it just seems like, I don't know. To give a kidney to a boyfriend.
No.
I would say.
I'm not going in on a dog with you.
Right?
No way.
Right?
No.
It just
not seems, even a cat.
A spouse, I understand. That I get. Yeah. That's a spouse.
Yeah. You're a little more locked in.
If I was dating somebody and they told me they were going to a bachelorette party in Vegas with their church group.
And I just gave you a kidney?
No. Take the kidney off the table. Just two people with functioning kidneys.
Tell me more about this church group.
And she says, I'm going to Vegas with my church group for a bachelorette party. You know what I tell her? Lose my number. That's the deal breaker. This is no longer a thing, you and me. None of that makes sense.
I like your tough
stance. If you're going
stance.
To Vegas with a bachelorette party, that's great. But with a church group bachelorette party in Vegas, something's going on there that I don't like. Something stinks, Darren.
You mean
something stinks real bad.
You mean it smells bad?
Real bad. Stinks to high heaven. Tell that to your church group.
Smells like sulfur.
Right? I don't care for that at all. If you're saying you're going somewhere with your church group, that's one thing. All right, fine. But not Vegas. And for a bachelor party? No. There's too much in that story for any of it to be true. There's too many details in your lie, and that's what makes it fall apart. If you're going to lie to someone, make it a very simple, easy to remember lie. Because when you start putting in multiples and modifiers where it's a bachelor party, but it's with a church group and it's in Vegas.
Keep the lie easy.
Yes.
Like, I'm a separated conjoined twin.
Or I danced at a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
You can't prove that I didn't. And it's an easy enough thing to believe, especially when you watch me
I
move.
Did the Diablo Dare, but I didn't do it on TikTok.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know how you dump somebody that gave you a kidney. But this guy did, Now, now he says, if God wants us back together, we'll get back together. Okay. It sounds like what he's saying is, if this doesn't work out for me, expect a phone call. And I'll be coming back to Alley Cat Around. And you and your one, you know, ever since you lost that kidney, it's like, I don't know, something's changed about you.
Yeah, you can only go to your left.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, which was brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Milan and also Galesburg. They're open 7 days a week, and you can order items online from both locations through Leafly. And you'll find that at the website, ntillinois.com.
Till we get a chance to put together another one of these, patrons, you should expect an exclusive show this week, right?
Sometime this week.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you gotta do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.